This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
A lot of this stuff was implemented by government. 1994, the Great Society Act. A lot of women chose government over men. But this is why I'm glad they working on getting rid of SNAP and Section 8.
That's what we're called as men to do. And the woman, therefore, submits because she submits to someone that she knows has her best interests at heart, that is leading, that is providing, that is protecting.
Temptations are distractions that prevent you from getting to your ultimate goal. And once a man realizes that, he'll be more cautious. He'll be more preventative.
The Highest Point Podcast. More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.
And we set up here. We have people in our community from all different walks of life, business owners, veterans, immigrants, African American, white guys, everybody that is a part of our community and coming together, and we're sharing our experiences and our stories. So this is our attempt to recreate that in this setting. So with that being said, I'll start with you, Mr. Benjamin, if you can introduce yourself, who you are, and then we'll go on down the line.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So my name is Benjamin Gibson, retired military, 21 years, multiple combat tours overseas, Marine Corps and Army. Retired in 2018, and since then I've been on the academic journey, pursued, got my bachelor's, master's, now some of my doctorate, husband, father, and been here in the Raleigh Durham area for about 6 years now, but involved all that. I'm just the center of state operates, and so I just appreciate being and looking forward to this conversation. I think it's something he's at.
I have to, first of all, I thank you for your service, for sure.
My name is Matt Devon. I'm out of Greensboro, North Carolina. I have a podcast called The Highest Point Podcast, and these settings like this is very important to spread the word, especially like when it aligns exactly to what my show is all about. You know, just a lot of times people see the end result of someone's success and think those type of things happen overnight, that we know it don't. We know we got to put in work. And those works is not just when it comes to business, but spiritually, in your faith, and everything that falls in line with that. And I'm looking forward to having a conversation with all of you here today. Thanks for having me.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm Lance Stelder, region from New York City, Brooklyn, New York, but been in Raleigh now for 8 years, married for 6 years, got a 10-month-old, so she's probably the eating, the crying, the sleeping. So background, went to play college football for 4 years, moved here, the training code, that didn't work out. I wasn't tall like the other brother, but now I do during the day now, electrical engineering, how I got into that, that's by the grace of God, and really networking, which is a good skill set that I've learned through actually running all online business, partnering with the Amway Corporation. So just the leadership and training that I was able to get from that has helped me in my corporate career, my opportunities to get around podcasts and people with PhDs and all that type of stuff. So I was a C student, but, you know, thank God for, you know, this great country and capitalism that allows somebody who is starting from, you know, from the bottom or wherever to be able to get around great men of character.
That's awesome. I appreciate you, Dosh, for being on. One quick logistical thing. If you're comfortable, can you tell me your ages? I said what you've been eating. 48.
I 39.
39.
Sir, I'm 34. I'm a baby Nick.
34. This is important because it represents all the different layers and the differences that we have, our perspectives of where we are in life. So appreciate it, fellas. And so here's where we start off. The one of the things that has came about today, as it were, is masculine. Simple as that, right? We're men, so that word is obviously associated with us. One of the things I want you guys to talk about a little bit, whether it be your own experience or things that you observe, just first, what has masculinity meant to you? Positive and negative. I start with you, Lunds.
It's all Davey first. Like, it's a masculinity. So I think there's different concepts to that. I think nowadays you have the term toxic masculinity. I think that's where some guys take it above approach, you know, the alpha and those type stuff, which is nothing wrong with that. Some people may have a more abrupt personality. You have some people who are a lot more chill. I'm a lot more chill. I'm not your introverted. So I'm more of like a calm type person. But I've heard stories of, you know, people had to show their masculinity by either physical violence or being, stoic, a lot stoic. But as I started to grow up now, because I didn't have my father in the house, a lot of those things, but I was around coaches. So they taught me a lot of things from, you know, pulling your pants up, having standards, you know, being a high performance athlete. So I don't know if y'all know who DeVal Ellis is. I know he's big on sisters now. He was one of my trainers, and a lot of things he's taught me is always be prepared and always be the best position to be ready to go at all points. Because if you mess up, you're running. That's just his mindset. If you act up, you're running. Why? Because you're competing against, you know, with your top athletes and stuff like that. So, you know, just having that person that's going to give you perspective of life and how to deal with certain things, how to deal with relationships, emotions, failures, success, stuff like that. So that's kind of what my perspective of masculinity is from a male's perspective. But then I seen the woman masculinity, that can get a little interesting, right? You might mess up little feathers, right? Hope I don't mess up the algorithm. But just seeing how it could be a blessing and a curse, depending on how you look at it. I mean, my wife was type A, so we both type A's. But using it as a leverage versus as a liability. I think a lot of times now, a lot of guys feel bad about their wife. Oh, they got this skill, they make this type of money. I said, okay, how can I use this to build with the kingdom, right? It could be from, you know, if you both pastors or if you both business partners or you raising a child, is how can you give them a different perspective of dynamic versus traditionalism of the man is supposed to be the head and woman is supposed to do this. But honestly, marriage is supposed to be a way of building both, not a way of being in competition. So
that's just my perspective on that.
I'll let you follow up with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do hear that term toxic masculinity a lot. And I think masculinity is a great thing. And this word toxic in front of it has kind of skewed the true meaning of masculinity. And it shouldn't be the first thing that comes to people's mind. Now they say that man is masculine. Sometimes we're thinking negative when masculinity is not negative. To me, from the core of masculinity, that's having the utmost respect for yourself, having restraint, you know, providing, protecting, and also understanding that a man is not limited to just providing and protecting. You know, it's okay for him to get protection as well. Everything, a family is supposed to support each other. It shouldn't be on the shoulders of one individual. It should be support all around. And when I say respect means loving yourself unconditionally. That's true masculinity. That means loving yourself no matter what situation you're in. You're either up, you're down. If you're at the highest, and when you compare it to your lowest, you still love yourself the same amount. That's having that ultimate respect for yourself, because you know you can rise above and you understand that you have faith in God. No matter what situation you're in, you can persevere. That's masculinity when it comes to my thought of it. And I think we should, you know, go away from leading with toxic masculinity, because that's not, the term masculinity is not a toxic thing. It's a great thing if it's cultivated the right way. I think that's one thing we got to, you know, really try to work on as men, as women coming together and just not getting it misconstrued.
Hello and welcome. Today's segment is sponsored by Milk and Honey's Health and Wellness Store, designed to help you be your best self. Today's featured product is our excess energy drink with an amazing blend of B vitamins to help you get going and stay going. For more info, text LINK to 910-301-7752 or email iamlighthm@gmail.com. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Benjamin, you have a different perspective. I'm not going to say you have a different perspective, but you're a veteran. You're a little bit older. So I'm curious to what you have to say about masculinity as somebody who was probably raised up in a different era from a lot of us as millennials and Generation Z. I'm curious of what you got to add.
I appreciate it. So the first thing that I just want to say, and I agree, is that I think that term toxic masculinity has been weaponized against men and against genuine masculinity. And I think that's a problem. And so with that, for me, I think being a man, being masculine, is being that pillar of strength, being that provider, protector, leader, nurturer. You know, those are the things that encompass a man. You know, a man does lead his household. A man does provide. A man does protect. You know, the joke goes, but it's very true. You hear that rattling at 2 o'clock in the morning downstairs. Yes, we're getting about the bed and going downstairs to check it out. Right? I mean, you know, as the Titanic, for an example, right? Who walked out on the boat first? The women and the children, right? While the men stayed, right? I mean, that's what we're called as men to do, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we're designed to be. And so I know that may be a little old school, and I know that might not necessarily gel with the current state of what masculinity is, but that's what masculinity is. There's nothing wrong with being a man. You know, there's a reason why we have man and we have woman. You know, and unfortunately, those lines have blurred a lot. And I think we need to unblur them and understand that it's okay that there's a difference. And it's okay that a man walks in his purpose into which he should be, into which God has ordained, designed for us to do, and the woman to walk in that. That doesn't belittle in any way, shape, form, or fashion, okay? A lot of times, things that you even have context to where it's like the man is the head of the house, so that means he's spooning over woman. No, he has specific roles, and he is a role to play and to fulfill. And the wife has the same in support of him. Okay. That's why men will call us as love, Allah is as Christ of the church, and died for. That's what we're called as men to do. And the woman, therefore, submit because she submits to someone that she knows has her best interests at heart, that is leading, that is providing, that is protecting. So we need to get rid of that toxic masculinity, like you said. When do you get back to biblical masculinity?
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
And I think that actually is right there in the word, and it shows with the ultimate example being Christ.
You actually have stepped into the next question here. There's something that you say. How is it that we as men, Christiany, how are we to navigate in this world in which a lot of times we as men have been the problems as it relates to maybe the way we have treated women, from abuse to substance abuse to, you know, challenges with
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Thanks for sharing that, Benji. Matt and Lance, I have a specific question for you two. All right, I'm going to set the example. I'm not Brian, but I have a doctoral degree. I'm a Christian. I'm a father. So sometimes when I'm in the grocery store or I'm at a dance practice and my wife is not around, the sisters be looking at me. And they be like, "Dude, brother, got it going on." How do we as men avoid temptation in today's society,
especially when if I look at my phone and I put on the gram, woo, because I feel like sometimes as a man, I could be minding my business and it just comes to your front door. And it's not always women. It's opportunity with jobs. It could be anything. So Matt and Lange, how do you find this so avoid the temptation as successful Christian
preventative. Preventative. You know what I'm saying? Just
taking steps to avoid certain situations. Not saying that I can go here and not allow anything to happen. Just don't go there at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, take those preventative steps, because you just never know that when you always dreamed of the fist, everything in the category that can break you down might be there. So you got to understand, you got to move in preventative ways to keep yourself strong as well. Understand your strength. Cool. You cool. You strong. You're powerful. But it's kryptonite out here in this world. So, you know, and so when you think about that being preventative, and also understanding, like, I got the ultimate respect for myself. And I love myself. So I'm not going to do anything that strays me away from my faith. I'm not going to do anything that strays me away from my family. And just being, you know, cautious and understanding the bigger goal, and not allow distractions to stop you, because that's all it's going to do. And then after you do, because, hey, I'm young. I've been out there in the world before. I have fell short to temptation before. And I understand. Afterwards, I'm like, that was
not worth it.
It was not worth it. Yeah.
That was just like, it was a waste of time. I could have been doing something else, and I went over here and wasted my time. Why would I do that? And so, you know, just like you was talking about, learning from your mistakes and things that you have done and understanding, it's not good for the big picture at all. It's only going to slow you down. It's going to make you feel like you're not worth what you truly are.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, because, like you said, temptation is going to always follow us, no matter what. We're all going to fall short. But I learned in life to preventative maintenance to make sure that I understand what my strengths and weaknesses are, where I fall short, so where I don't necessarily. And I think for me, and this goes on, and this is kind of a tee up for our last topic here about fatherhood. But I've learned to actually treat my wife like a partner. Mm-hmm. But what that means is partners have to have very difficult conversations.
Yes.
And those difficult conversations are things that are not always, they don't always sound good. Sometimes I have to tell my wife, you're not meeting me where I'm at right now. I'm here. I kind of need you to come with me here.
Right.
But also understand that in masculinity, I'm not her boss. Mm-hmm. Maybe at that time, she can't meet me where I'm at. Maybe I need to compromise on areas. So this brings me to the last topic of discussion. And this is a big one. Fatherhood. I think all three of you are fathers, right? You have a 10-month-year-old. Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun. How old is your daughter now?
I had a 4-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Oh, man. So you get,
to you yet?
Yeah.
Two daughters?
No. Son is the oldest, daughter is the youngest.
Okay, so now you got a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I know you want to jack him up sometime.
I have had to.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Oh, he think you better than you, huh?
Yeah. He's like 256'2".
Really?
Yeah.
Don't let him beat you in those sports, man.
Whatever. That ain't happening.
There you go.
That ain't happening.
But then you got the 4-year-old daughter, Princess,
right,
who
right.
probably really burned the house. She thinks she do.
So my question is, I'll start with you, Benjamin. What has fatherhood really taught you?
Like, and I know you have a story. You've already started to share it as a single father. What has fatherhood taught you?
Patience.
You could just end right there.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
Patience.
I thank God. And somebody may be like, thank God. I thank God because he chose me to raise that woman. Because he said, he's mine. But while he's there, you're responsible. And I'm entrusting you with him and with all that he has.
So the first thing is patience. Second thing is the attentiveness. And then I'll keep it short. The third thing I would say is kids truly want presence, not presence. So what do I mean by that? They want presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence, right? They don't want presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E-S, okay? They want you to be there, okay? They want you to ask a question. Now, and I know we said this, I'm sure you coming late. We were all boys, we were all teenagers, you know? You come home from school, how was school? Fine.
Yeah, long board answer, right?
Fine. Oh, there he's going cool? Yeah. Right? And so you suck. But they want that. They want the interaction. They want the engagement. So I would say, you know, obviously you have to be attentive. You have to have patience. You have to have presence. And then that unconditional love. Yeah. And that right there, I think, is a recipe for success that can cover pretty much any and everything which you're going to engage in and deal with when it comes to raising kids.
That's great. Matt Langus, I'll let you guys finish it off.
Yeah, sure. That thing we say, don't take things personal. In my mind, I was thinking about, you know, forgiveness of that falling line, but not taking things personal. It makes me think about my 14-year-old.
Now, we have a blended family.
So I came in his life when he was 2 years old. Of course, him and his mom, we got married. But, you know, he has a biological dad as well. So I have to understand that some of the things that, you know, maybe he say or do is not all his fault. There are some situations where he was coming up, his father tried to turn him against me. But I had to always understand and like, know that, hey, this is not his fault. And then he's going to get old enough to realize what's really real one of these days. You just got to be patient and continue to be consistent throughout, no matter what. So when it comes to those, you know, those little moments, because we have many great moments, but there might be a moment here or there, you got to let that fall off your back. It might sting, it might hurt a little bit, but you got to understand, like, hey, that's not truly how he feels. That is coming from somewhere else that he don't even understand yet. And then also, this happens to biological parents too. Kids are disrespectful. You know what I mean? And you can't just blame everything on that. You know what I mean? So I think about the forgiveness piece as being the father. Also understand that
fathers need empathy as well. Something that I went through where I was afraid to even say anything. I was so busy, worried about my wife. I don't want her to feel any type of way. We lost a child through an ectopic pregnancy. So that hit me hard. But, you know, I didn't want my wife to feel guilty because she couldn't give me the child that I wanted.
So I didn't try to, I tried my best not to show her my pain, but I was hurting a lot. And I had to figure out ways. And then, you know, just, you know, you're a political guy, you know, that even when it comes to like paternity, that those like, paternity leave, a lot of those things wasn't even available for men back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like, it was only available for women. Like, men don't have pain when it comes right. to right. their child either not being here or even being born. Why not a man have time to be with a child away from work and paid just like the woman?
A man, he's the empathy and that respect and that time to build that relationship in the early stages as well. And it just makes you realize that when it comes to fatherhood, and something I want to make sure I translate in the proper way to my son, it's okay for you to be vulnerable. That doesn't make you look weak. But I also got to provide that space to where he feels comfortable to do those type of things. And so with me, I always think about my wife, her feelings. I don't want her to feel this way. But also I got to take care of me as well, because if I don't, how in the world am I going to be able to adequately provide and protect for my family? And so those are things that I really think about. I try to self-reflect on. And as being a father,
I didn't really think of those things until I became one and experienced some things.
I appreciate you, Master Khalil II. Piggyback on something you said, and so you said about patience and taking care of yourself, because as a man, I had a present father, but his idea of fatherhood was just being a provider. Mm-hmm. No emotions, no real conversation. It's a great man, but they're the things that I was lacking from a nurturing standpoint. And then when I got married early, I got married very early in life. So now I'm pretending to be us.
Right.
And I'm looking on TV. I'm basing it off things that I saw, and I'm pretending to be a husband. And the one thing that you said in that is, not only am I being toxic in some ways, mm-hmm. I'm also negating my needs, because I don't even know I had asked for them.
Right.
So now I'm looking at my wife like, well, what are you here for? Because I expect for her to read my mind, because she's a mind reader, right? Right? What are you here for? Now I'm blaming all my problems and trauma on her. But something happened the night that we gave birth to my daughter. I will never forget this night. My wife is over there asleep, tired, then gave birth. And my daughter wakes up, and she's giving that little, and I go over there for the first time, and I hold her. And it's just me and her. It's 2 a.m. And I look at this child that we had made, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I do not have all the answers. And that's it. Like, I need to say when I need help. I need to be empathetic, because this thing right here is perfect. And I'm a steward of it. And I enjoy this. God gave me this child. So the children, my daughter has exposed me to more feelings about myself than anything. Lance, is that something that you can relate to? Because you got the 10-month-year-old. So you are your freshman, you said?
I think. Also, too, this is actually important about the fatherhood, also when you have the child.
With, I think that's the most important thing, because
the one thing I've understood is God over man over woman, woman over child. A lot of times, I mean, if we go back to traditional ways, right? The man was work, getting the bread, getting the bacon.
The woman was home raising child. So back then, we knew how important, it's still important today, you knew how important it was to actually make sure we have a nurturing spouse. I think today with the two parents out of work, stuff like that, I think you got to be more strategic. So I give you how my brain works. I'm more of a systems guy, so this is probably a little weird. So I go back to the night when my daughter was born. Now, I don't recommend this, but my wife knows me, right? Business comes first, but I'm still there, right? So I'm on a Zoom call while my wife is giving birth. But when we found out, or when I found she was pregnant, I'm like, oh, crap. Now, you know, growing up how I grew up, I didn't have a dad. So now, thank God I have men in my life that have been married for years, and some have 5 kids, thank God. But this morning, now the foundation is important. So the reason why I do what I do is to build a foundation, to be that example, to be her hero, right? Because I think a lot of kids now have athletes and all these type of sinful people, right, that are their heroes. But a lot of that, we have to earn that respect from our child, and however they see what respect is. But now her being 10 months old and seeing her develop, just giving her the time, maybe it was like an hour or two a day, or maybe 30 minutes. I don't think you have to give them all day, but just give them that specific time so that they know, okay, you have time dedicated for them, but know that, you know, your parents got to take care of responsibility. We got a mission that our family has to accomplish, not just for ourselves, but for other people. That's one of the big things. Two, your patience. I mean, I'm naturally impatient, but I understand. Learning now with reading books, like How to Win Friends and Influence People, the art of dealing with people. Like you said, I think, you know, you're here, your wife was here, you weren't bring up. Everybody has their own journey. Everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. And as I'm learning this stuff now, and not having a dad.
I think that's the one thing that actually kind of negates a lot of things, because now you're figuring it out.
Yeah.
Right? Because you grew up watching the Cosby. Now, that's the good side, right? You know, go to school, spell me, raising three kids. But I think what a lot of men are going through now is Al. You remember Al? Yeah. Al from Love and Marriage?
Yeah.
You remember that movie? Actually, it was funny. It was written by a black man. But what a lot of men were going through, like, the wife and the kids is being X, Y, and Z, but the dad is just sitting there suffering.
Yep.
And I think that's why sometimes now a lot of men don't either want to get married or have kids, because they saw that side. They don't see enough successful families actually building something. But learning what I'm learning now is just, like you said, patience.
Understanding the purpose why we do what we do, that time is important, right? Rather if it's do what you got to do. So once they get older, you know, put yourself in a position. You want to homeschool. I want to create the narrative to where
that our Christian values is better than were, right? Because we now start to see
a lot of the Muslim community growing, but they outpacing us when it comes to how they feel about their faith, the kids that they having. The values, they're very conservative in their values, and they will die for it. But how many Christians will die for their beliefs? How many Christians will put themselves in a financial position, a spiritual position, an educational position, emotion position to be able to take care of their kids? If I remember somebody said this, if you don't have enough money or resources to take care of yourself, the money will be your God, because that's all you're pursuing. But if you can solve both problems by either creating something that can, that you can do that will build that income so that you can not have to give 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours to the job, but give some of that time back to your family, to yourself. I mean, I'm running this outdoor event because I run 5Ks every weekend, even though I don't like running, but it's the pursuit. Right. Every man had to write up the pursuit of happiness. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. It's the right in the pursuit of happiness. And because we have the freedoms here, do we appreciate the freedoms to actually pursue what we want, but also take care of our family? Because if you kill the nuclear family, which certain policies, certain politicians do, you kill a nation, you kill a country. That's why if you read Karl Marx, if you read anything that leftist policies say, the first thing that they will do is attack the head of the snake, which is the man. They take God out of school. They took some churches taking God out of churches. And some parents don't have God. So when we going to get God outside of Sundays, right? This, now we got social media influencers. We have events like this. So men have to get around people who's going to pour into them. You know, if they don't have fathers in their lives, get around great men that can, you know, give some perspective, some knowledge, some wisdom, and, you know, do the best that they can and just take that responsibility, because your child's future depends on the ashes that you take today.
Yeah. Fellas, it's been a great conversation. I have to admit, it's probably been one of the better conversations I've had in a long time. If anything, I've enjoyed just this interactive device. And diversity is up here, whether it's age, race, all the things. So again, I appreciate it. And thank you for giving me honest thoughts and opinions. And listen, what we did here today is just, it's just what you're wanting.
Yeah.
We're going to have back. So be prepared to come back and keep sharing and expounding. And again, I appreciate you.
God is Boy Podcast. More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.